Hi, my name is Sarah Hope, and I'm finding new life in Christ as I recover from an addiction to pornography, lust, and finding my worth in what other people think of me. On the 4th of July in 2016, I sat on the floor of my apartment in Washington, D.C., listening to the city explode in celebrations and parties, concerts and fireworks. But in here, I was lonely, depressed, and addicted. I was struck by the contrast of the joy taking place out there in a secular city that has put its faith in the government compared to the overwhelming pain in my own soul, which had placed its faith in the God of the Bible. Shouldn't it be the other way around? The Holy Spirit in me groaned. I cried, turned to food for comfort. Then came self-hatred, more groanings of the Spirit. Next, I binged on porn to temporarily escape the shame, only to have it double immediately like it always did. Then tears, then sobbing, then a headache, and then sleep. The next morning, the first thing I put on before my feet hit the floor was the identity of unclean. How did I get here? When I was 6 years old, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that Jesus was Lord through a claymation movie of the gospel called The Miracle Maker. One scene depicted Jesus casting out the unclean spirits, terrorizing Mary of Magdala. The Spirit opened my eyes to a need for a Savior who could do that for me. I cried and told my mother, I want to know Jesus, and she knelt beside me and prayed with me to accept Christ as my Savior. Thank God for my mom. My family lived in Dallas and attended church, but faith was something more impersonal, and a relationship with God seemed to be more driven by works rather than grace. When I was 8, my family packed up and moved to Mexico for a year. My older sister and I were enrolled in an all Spanish-speaking Catholic school where I struggled with the language and to make friends. My parents' marriage was decaying at the time, and their parenting became absent, which left me and my sister in chaos. I began coping with obsessive-compulsive behaviors, and I fixated on germs and physical tics. This, coupled with my relative otherness, was getting me bullied in school, and my parents and my sister were emotionally distant or unavailable at the time, so I coped by retreating inward more and more. In their own hurting, each of my family members' pain would spill out onto me. My father would withhold affection from me, my mother would bottle up frustrations until they exploded in rage, and my sister would withdraw from me relationally and then let out anger on me through verbal or physical abuse. During this time, I felt repulsive in the eyes of everyone, and I didn't know how to change. So I retreated inward. In myself, in my sin, I allowed fear of what others thought of me, self-loathing, loneliness, and looking for comfort within my own self to drive my behavior. Instead of drawing my focus upward and turning to God for comfort, I would escape through masturbation, sneaking food, or playing make-believe. While my family experienced a lot of volatility during this time, my mother did model for me, through the grace of God, what drawing near to him looked like for comfort and grace. When we moved back to the U.S., she started attending Celebrate Recovery, and my father started attending shortly after, and together they began to work on their marriage and their relationship with God. As I grew older, I began seeking out romantic content in movies or on YouTube. When my parents would fast-forward through a love scene in a movie, I would nearly always go back and watch it when no one else was around. In high school, I was prompted by a well-intentioned but misguided youth leader to open up to the group about something I was struggling with. And when I told them that I was struggling with masturbation, the mood changed and it was communicated to me that I couldn't share that fully as it would be too much for people to wrap their mind around. We proceeded by sharing a censored version of my story, but it was mishandled and confusing and I felt more shame. My fear came true in my eyes. I was repulsive in the eyes of God and of his people. And I retreated inward again and became bitter and untrusting of church staff and began giving into sin more because I wrongly thought there was no use in putting lipstick on a pig. When I was a junior in college, I sought out hard pornography for the first time and almost immediately became addicted. I would turn to porn instead of God for the next 5 years. God gave me numerous opportunities to confess to others and to turn to him, but each time I'd try to do it on my own, and like clockwork, my shame, fear of being known by other Christians, and now my chemical addiction on porn had me pulling away. One afternoon, the Spirit pressed me to confess the exact nature of the pornography I was looking at to my friend Mary over the phone. While sitting in the car, curled up in the fetal position, shaking, I wept and I felt nauseous. I was convinced I have to remain silent and stuck in the darkness of my sin, but the Spirit had a stronger grip on my heart, and light began to pierce through until I confessed. The minute the confession passed my lips, 1,000 burdens were lifted, my body stilled, and my heart was not afraid. God had gently and firmly pulled me into the light, and I was free. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:7-9. Stepping into the light is one thing, but then surrendering fully to God is another. So even though I was now freely talking about it with people, including my family, I was not willing to trust God daily for my satisfaction and turn away from my porn addiction. Wrapping up college and moving to DC, I would have seasons of victory and failing over my addiction, which brings us back to the sad scene that I opened with. It's the 4th of July, I'm in DC, I've been there for a year, and I'm low again. So what did God do? God pursued my wandering heart, and in his grace, he placed a coworker in my office to invite me to one of the very few Bible-believing churches in DC. And after intense wrestling with the fear of being known by God's people again, the Spirit helped me take one step toward community after another. Before I realized what was happening, I was loved and cared for and empowered with God's living word. He brought me out of isolation and led me to green pastures, where I was able to be fully known for the first time in my adult life. On my 25th birthday, I made the commitment to a faithful friend, Sarah, to repent and turn away from feeding my porn addiction. The foundation for step 6, repent, is so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. That's 2 Timothy 2:22. God moved swiftly, and about 2 years from the time that he brought me into biblical community, he orchestrated the approval by my church leadership in DC for me and Sarah to take a group of women through regeneration. I was leading it and going through it at the same time, and it was totally nuts, but God was faithful, and he was using my weakness to show his strength. Through this process, God began acclimating my heart to drawing near to him when I feel rejected, confessing to others when I fall short, fearing him above others, waiting on him for fulfillment, and even trusting church staff again. He taught me that when I fall short and relapse, he doesn't love me less or withhold affection from me. Rather, his love remains unchanging. God doesn't see me through the lens of my sinfulness. Instead, he sees me in my heart, spotless, clean, holy, and pleasing, not by anything that I have done, but because of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived a holy and perfect life and took my place on the cross to satisfy God's justice against sin. Jesus died the death that I deserved, and he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. In doing this, Jesus took my filth and everything that separates me from God onto himself and gave me his purity in exchange. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Because of the work of Jesus, not of my own merit, I am clean and my eternity is secured in the presence of God. Today, God's pursuit continues. I miss the mark of his standard regularly, and he has shown me his unmerited favor in tangible ways. He opens up his living word to me through intentional scripture studies with other believers. He placed 2 women in my life who are surrendered to his will. They challenge me with boldness and gentleness, and they model what yielding to one another looks like as we submit ourselves to God. Thank God for Catherine and Madison. My relationship with my family has healed and continues to strengthen thanks to a better understanding on my end of biblical forgiveness. If I hold on to unforgiveness, I'm denying Christ's sufficiency over their sin, and by extension over mine, because I'm believing the lie that my sin is somehow more forgivable. This wrongly assigns me some kind of merit that I don't have. The foundation for step 8, forgive, is be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Ephesians 4:32-5:1. Porn has left scars on my mind. Sometimes things outside of my control bring forth a damaging memory that mocks God's design or that mocks the truth that he alone can satisfy my soul. Other times, my own rebellion inflames those scars by entertaining lustful thoughts. But God is more powerful, and he continues to train my wandering heart to listen to his voice and to spot the path of escape from temptation that he always provides. If you're here tonight looking for hope, you're in the right place. If you feel stuck in a dark, shameful state, you're not alone. In that very pit stands a Savior named Jesus Christ, and his righteous hand is extended toward you, desiring to take on your burden and uncleanliness and atone for it completely. And in exchange, he wants to place his robe of purity on your shoulders. He is the only one who can, and he is faithful. So my question to you is, will you let him? My name is Sarah Hope, and I have new life and comfort in Christ, and I'm recovering from an addiction to pornography, lust, and finding my worth in what other people think of me. And because of Jesus, my heart is clean.